Well, if you've ever watched the Antiques Roadshow, you've seen people almost faint when they found out something was worth a lot of money. And it's gone the other way, too. I've seen many times it's kind of actually a lot of fun to watch the end of that show when people talk about, they usually do a little sequence of three or four different people who had something they thought might be worth a lot of money but wasn't worth much of anything. Shirley Bauman is with us now, and she probably could tell you a whole lot about the value of some of your things. She's a certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She's the owner of Bauman Auction Services, and she comes by every so often to talk with us about collectibles and antiques. And if you have a question or comment, do you have something special? You wonder what it might be worth, or do you buy things as investments or just because you like them? Are you a collector of what? You can call in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And don't forget to go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can also post a question, maybe a photo, right there. And Shirley, great to have you back.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Have you been busy?
Oh, yes. I'm busy all the time, and I love it.
Well, how is this? I ask that because this current economic climate, I wonder how that has affected collecting and that sort of thing. People seem to have less money to spend.
That's exactly right. And they are certainly not spending it on things that aren't necessities. So the antiques market in general is down, as mm-hmm. is the art market, except for the rare and exceptional things. We see a lot of people right now disappointed, like those people you just mentioned in the feedback booth on the Antiques Roadshow. What's going on today is that a lot of the people who are downsizing, maybe moving out of the family home into a condo or apartment, have Victorian items. That's what was handed down in their family, or maybe that's what they've collected. And not only because of the economy, but because that's kind of fallen out of favor, they're not worth as much as they thought they were going to be. And some people have collected them, and now they found they paid a lot more for them than they can get on the secondary market if they try to sell them right now.
So that's not...
It's not good. And, you know, there's kind of a mismatch for people. People downsizing have that kind of thing to sell. The people who are furnishing their homes and looking for things, the younger people, generally are looking for that mid-century modern. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the 1950s, you know, 40s mm-hmm. to 60s. And that retro look is hot right now. And I know a lot of people out there are going, oh, that's what I grew up with. That's the stuff I threw out. But that's the stuff these people remember from growing up and being at grandma's house. And it's their nostalgia. Whereas that earlier items were the older
generation's
nostalgia.
From another time. Anything else that's hot right now?
Well, yes, the... market for advertising and ephemera seems to be pretty hot.
Hmm.
Paper advertising and signs and, the big old porcelain signs and the things that people use to advertise products of a day gone by, even the products that are still here today but started maybe in the late 1800s, and they can look at the progression of the advertising throughout the period. We see a lot of that. Old photography of certain items it goes really well right now. And toys still seem to be pretty hot because people like to remember their childhood and feel like they're a kid again.
Well, I tell you what, lots of callers online to visit with you. So, and some with some toy type things. Let's go to Pat in Duluth, Minnesota. Pat, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have a spoon, a fork, and a knife from when I was a little girl. They're Mr. Peanut. I don't know if you remember that.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's Mr. Peanut standing on the front with peanuts all the way down, and then you turn it around, and it's the backside of Mr. Peanut. And they're children, so they're small, but not too small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know about them because I have them here. I brought them back from Pennsylvania, and they're sitting in the drawer.
Well, that's great. You know, this is one of those advertising promotions we talk about. That was to stimulate people to want the peanuts, Mr. Peanut Peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, kids were supposed to ask for them. It's just like we see commercials on television today encouraging children to ask for whatever, snack foods. And so that's what that was about. And so that fits into even that category I was talking about. Now, there's a couple of things. First of all, you want to look and determine if it's silver-plated or sterling.
It is silver-plate.
Okay,
it's Carlton silver-plate.
Okay, that makes a difference. Youth sets are also collectible as compared to an adult place setting. So you've got something nice there. If it's in real good condition, I'd say, you know, hang on to that because Mr. Peanut is still around. So it's not like, for example, Shirley Temple. The young people don't really know who she was anymore. So seeing Mr. Peanut, they can still identify with that. You've probably got a set maybe in the $60 to $75 range.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Keep it in good condition.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for that information. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat, for calling. And let's turn to Marlon in Rothschild next. Hi, Marlon.
Hello. I have a 1957 Corvette pedal car that I won at the Dunn County Fair. It was a promotion. From what I know about it, it was a promotion that car dealers, Chevrolet car dealers, they could give them to purchasers of Corvettes, or they could auction or raffle them off at a fair. I've never figured out the value of this car. I'm told it's quite rare, but I'm just not sure.
What kind of shape's it in?
It's in pretty good shape. I was pretty old when I bought it. I was around 10. I couldn't fit in it very well. The gears were nylon, so they never really did work very well. It's missing a reflector. Two reflectors, and there's a little split in the fiberglass, which I'm told is kind of common for that particular vehicle.
Okay. Here again, we're talking about that advertising promotional item. And certainly Corvette owners would like that. You know, there's a lot of followers of that car, so I'm sure they'd like the pedal car as well as the real thing. I don't know exactly the value of it off the top of my head. Now, pedal cars were something that were made long before, and the older original ones are metal, and they have a collector following, which is going down a little bit right now from what we were seeing. At one time, 15 years ago, maybe we were seeing them at the $350, $400 range, and now they're down into maybe the $150 on those. But yours, I think, holds its value because of the advertising item. The thing we'd have to do is kind of find out how many were made. And, you know, if you contacted the archives General Motors, they might be able to tell you something like that. And that would tell us how rare it is, and that's a lot of what collectibles are about. Now, as far as those reflectors missing, there are places that have parts for vintage toys that you can get those replaced. And it won't hurt the toy in this case. You don't want to put something on that didn't originally belong on it. But if you can get the true replacements, that might be worth it. As far as the value, I don't know it off the top of my head. Like I said, the older metal ones are going in the $150 range, give or take, on that. And what the more modern, a 50s Corvette, it could be anywhere from that range. But I think it's probably a lot higher. And my instinct says you might be more into that, maybe $400 to $500 range in good condition to the right buyer. And that's always the thing.
That's always the thing.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Marlon, for calling. We have Nancy in West Bend up next. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have about a half a dozen Godey's ladies' books from the 1850s and 60s. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, I am.
And they are in pretty good shape. The majority of them have the color plates with the women's clothes still in them. One of them has those removed, I guess. That's probably the biggest value to them. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that's where the term fashion plate comes from, because that was the fashion plate.
Okay.
And that's where that comes from. And people do look for those pictures, prints, and you see them often for sale framed. And each one of them, depending on what it's like, if it's colored, if it's black and white, exactly what's on it, they can go anywhere from about, $25 up to $75 if interesting matting and framing and all of that goes mm-hmm. with it. So that's really what the collectors look for, is those fashion plates.
I have hesitated to take those out of the books because the books themselves are absolutely fascinating, too, yeah. with the recipes and the stories and all the thing. I mean, those, they're 6 or 7 inches high. They're 1,000 pages.
Yes, they
and
are.
They're just an amazing, amazing thing.
There are, and there are book collectors who go after the whole books, but for the most part, we see people going after those fashion prints.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Diane in Sparta emailed and wonders if you'd discuss the restrictions on selling or buying ivory items and how to tell if things are actually ivory or not.
Okay, that's always a difficult item. You have to have older ivory, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the date. I think I do, but I'm not going to say it because I could be wrong, but you can always look that up on the internet as far as the date. And you need older ivory, modern ivory. You know, they're trying to save the animals and not have people going after that. So you do need to look at that, and there is, if it's more modern ivory, you cannot sell it. How you look for ivory, how you tell if it's ivory, there's a couple different ways. What I do is magnify it, and you see sort of a concentric ring pattern, and it's somewhat like you'd see in a tree on a cross section, because it was a live organism at one time. So you will see that, and you might not, you know, when it's heavily carved, it's hard to find a spot to find that on. But I use a jeweler's loop. I look really close, and I try to find that pattern in there. You'll see on the internet that you might be able to do what they call a hot pin test, and that's getting a pin really red hot, not just, you know, hold a match to it for a minute, but red hot, and put it in there, and it has the smell like burning hair. Now, I'm not real sure what burning hair smells like necessarily, and can you really get that much of a whiff on it, and do you want to put that into your ivory.
Yeah.
So that's another way to do it. Also, if you look at it and you see like black little dots in it all over, then it's probably bone, because that has the capillaries in, or did, and that's what those black spots are.
Shirley Bauman, our guest today, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. We have her website up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, so you can go there. She'll be with us up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking collectibles today. What's hot, what's not, with Shirley Bauman, a certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She's the owner of Bauman Auction Services, and we have a link to her page at the Larry Mueller Show website. So if you want to go there, you can just get it. Otherwise, Shirley, what is the give us that site, your site?
I'd actually like to direct people to my website, www.heirloomappraisal.com, because I'm going through some changes on BaumanAuctions.com. And we're getting that ready to put my online auction system up. So every once in a while, people are finding a lot of problems there because we're working on that. So www.heirloomappraisal.com.
Judith will put that up on our Facebook page, so we'll have that up in a minute. Bill in Appleton, we go to you. Bill, thank you for calling.
You bet. Yeah, I had a mechanical coin-operated machine, a weightlifting machine, that you put a... It had a looked kind of like a grandfather clock face on top, and you put a coin in, and you could either lift a bar or grip, hand grip, or pull with your fingers, and the clock face would register how much weight you'd lift.
Yeah.
Yep. Is it a cast iron piece, or what is it made of?
It was cast iron, yes.
Yeah. We saw those, I guess, that I didn't exactly, but they were around the turn of the century in that period into the 1900s. And they would be in amusement parks, in saloons, I guess, in those kinds of places. Depending on how ornate they are, the condition of it, if it's still in working condition,
we
can see those bringing some reasonable prices. Does it stand about 5 feet tall or so?
Or is it a tabletop? 6.5 feet.
It's what?
6.5 feet.
Six and a half feet. Okay. Well, first of all, you've got the issue there that it'd probably be nearly impossible to move if it's all cast iron. It's going to be really heavy.
Well, maybe it's not cast iron. It weighs about 200 pounds.
Okay.
Well, it'd be cast iron.
It could be if it's the shell of it, you know, with that. Those machines can go for good money, depending on, again, finding your buyer for them. But you see those ranging in the $1,000 to $2,000 range a lot, and maybe even a little more, depending on how ornate or rare they are.
Fair enough.
There you go. Thank you for calling. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You can clear up a fight that me and my wife are having. I was cleaning out the closet the other day, and I found a race car and a little orange truck from when we were kids from a race team called AJ Floyd. I know nothing about racing stuff, but I was going to give it to my kids, and my wife was like, no, you got to check to see if it's worth any money because it's pretty old, and I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
Did you say A.J. Floyd or A.J. Foyt?
A.J. Floyd, I believe it is.
I think it's A.J. Foyt.
I would bet.
Yeah, Foyt was a popular racer, and that's why we think that might be the name on it. It depends on what the car is made out of.
It's a metal and plastic.
Okay. Generally speaking, if you look underneath it, you can see they often marked it there as to who the maker was.
I think it's Mattel.
Mattel.
Yeah.
It's possible that could become a collectible.
Okay. I was going to give it to my one-year-old son. Should I do that, or should I just actually keep it away from him?
You know, I think I'd hang on to that one. A Mattel with a famous racer on it. I'd hang on to that one.
It actually comes with a band that's all metal. It's all metal and then the plastic wheels.
Yep.
Hang on to it.
Hang on to it. Keep it together. Keep the man with it, you know.
Yeah.
Get him some you know, other little toy.
You're making my wife win. That's no good. Okay.
Sorry about that.
But I bet it's A.J. Foyt.
Yeah.
I never heard of A.J. Floyd. Foyt. That's probably the one. Steve in Broadhead, on to you. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I was just wondering, I've got my father's World War II Army uniform, and it does have the service patch on it, which was, I believe it's the mountain unit. They fought in the mountains of Italy, northern Italy, and I've gone to a site, you know, that specializes in this, and apparently there is some value for these on this auction site. So I'm just wondering, you know, would that be the best place to try to sell it? And this is probably an unanswerable question. Is it better to hang on to it? Will the value go up?
Well, you do have a couple of questions there, and it is true that it has some value. World War II, however, will have less value than previous wars. We still have World War II veterans around living, so it isn't, you know, people can still remember that time. So it isn't as old as, say, you know, World War I, Civil War. They're more collectible. I suspect that World War II will probably get more collectible when all the people who can remember it are gone, you know, aren't, you know, at 100 years and more. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're living longer these days, but, you know, as we get past that, it's really the... More than anything, it's probably the buttons and the patches that people are looking for. There are still a lot of World War II uniforms around. I see them a lot when I go into estates and things because people don't have the heart to throw away dad's or granddad's uniform. And so it's been in mothballs all this time. But yes, I think if you're going to sell it, the internet is a good place because you're exposed to collectors all over the world. And somebody might be looking specifically for that patch from Italy that you mentioned, and that's how we would find the people. But if it were me, I think I'd hang on to it for a little while.
Yeah. The other nice thing is I think that you have the story, so you have a little provenance.
Absolutely.
Right.
That story is important. And I always tell people when they come like to appraisal fairs and things and bring their things up and they tell me the story, I tell them to write it down. I said, because after you're gone, it's just going to be stuff. It's the story that people will remember.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Jeff in New Berlin, on to you now. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I have a story for you that I've been doing for the last 18 years some volunteer work at the White House out in Washington, D.C., and they've been kind enough to send me Christmas cards for probably the last 10, 11 years. Not only the little ones that they send out to political contributors, but the 13 by 17s that my wife and I have framed and hung on the wall. I've got correspondence from the usher's office. I even had a chance to meet President Bush, and our picture was autographed by him. And that do we have, you know, are those Christmas cards of any value?
Well, yes, I think they are. There's a couple of questions and things you want to look at first. On those cards and even the photo, are they real signatures? Starting with John F. Kennedy, most of the signatures were written with auto pen. Now, if you were there with President Bush, had your picture taken, and you saw him sign it in front of you, make that note and put that in an envelope with the picture, because that makes a difference. So many of them, like I say, they just can't possibly sign everything. So presidential signatures of modern presidents are often in the maybe $75 to $120 range.
Okay. The cards were not signed by him. It does have the White House seal embossed in it.
Yes, and I think you do have a collectible, because certainly that isn't sent to everybody, but there were still many of them printed. Depends on, in the future, how many of them are kept. And again, as we go further away from the date, the older ones are always more valuable than something that's real modern. So you might want to frame those, keep those, share them with family, and maybe future generations will find them to be more valuable than they are at this point. The large size helps, that you've got the ones that are different. And I can't really give you a number off the top of my head, but I do think you definitely have something collectible.
What about the correspondence from the usher's office? They've got nothing to do with the politics of what goes on there, but they do run everything non-political. And I've got probably 14, 15, you know, different correspondence, thank you letters and so forth. Would those have any value in keeping around, other than the fact that you have the watermark in the paper? You know, that's the only way you can tell that that's actually from the White House.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would keep them and put the information again down at what you did at the White House and when and all of that kind of thing, because together with the cards and with your information, it makes a complete story. And while maybe it isn't going to be the most valuable thing, it's like an archive of what was done. And altogether, it adds up to a little bit more than just the pieces individually.
There you go, great. Jim. Thank you very much, Jeff, for calling. Appreciate it. We have a caller from Lamira who couldn't stay with us, has a gold and silver plate, or has gold and silver plated baseball cards of major players. Are there any value to those? I don't remember ever seeing those. I wonder if those were offered as a...
They must have been a specialty item for...
You find in a magazine or something and order these.
And the thing about that, if that is the case, there might be many, many of them around, and then they wouldn't have much value. The whole sports card collectible hobby has changed. In the 80s, the market was just flooded by the card makers with sports cards of all kinds, you know, not just baseball, but they have hockey, basketball, football, everything. And it really changed that whole market. Those newer cards from the 80s on are really, except if there's a rookie card that's very rare, they're pretty pretty low in value. A lot of times we're talking about, you know, 1 to 5 cents. Now, in terms of being gold and silver plated, you don't have even the melt value there because it's plated, not solid. And it's something, of course, that probably needs some polishing now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're famous players that you have or what the situation is. And maybe a company put them out. In that case, they might be considered an advertising collectible as well if, you know, Kellogg's put them out or something. So it's really hard to say. Mm-hmm.
how new they are or how old they are and who put them out is a big variable there.
We had an author on who wrote a book about Warren Spahn. And in the book, he talked about the fact that one time for baseball cards, Warren Spahn and Lou Burdette played a joke on the photographer. And so Warren Spahn took Lou Burdette's Burdette was right-handed, Spahn was left-handed, and they just exchanged gloves. And so their picture is essentially Spahn's got the glove on the wrong hand and Burdette's got the glove on the wrong hand. Now, something like that could have some...
That would have collector value.
Because it was probably only done once and for that set of pictures. So.
Exactly. So everybody's looking at the cards right now, trying to see if they have that one.
Oh, boy. Jack in Green Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Jack.
Good afternoon. Haven't talked to you, Larry, since the Brewers outing back with public radio's Brewers outing with Joy, Kathleen, and Ben and all.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was.
I got a question for your guest. Family lore has it that the two tapestries I have, they're about 3x5, came out of the Drake Hotel in Chicago, purchased by my deceased grandmother, probably in the 40s. Assuming that these things may have some value, they were they're kind of stained from pipe tobacco and whatnot. Is there a place that your guests could tell a person like me that they can be restored or cleaned, because they're, you know, they're either needlepoint or tapestry. We've always called them tapestries.
Sure. And you are asking the right questions, because you do want to have those done professionally. And what you want to look for is a textile conservator. And there's a textiles department at the University of Wisconsin. You might call down there and ask for information, because they have a wonderful department here. And if they know someone around, if there is someone around, they'll know who it is. There is also in the museum, the Chicago Art Museum also has resources for tapestry restoration.
Could it be that there's someone in Wisconsin that does this kind of work? Or
yes, I think if you go to the UW, the textiles department there, they'll know somebody in Wisconsin.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Sarah. My dad's been collecting first day covers and corner block postage stamps since the 1930s. Is there any market for them, and who would they contact to find out?
Stamps are a very specialized area of collecting, and I really don't know much about them myself. And what you what you're looking for is a coin and stamp person. They usually actually go together, a lot of the coin and stamp people. What you want is a stamp specialist. Now, do they have value? Yes, I'm not sure how much. There's only specific ones that have value, and a specialist needs to tell you which ones those are. The word is that stamp collecting is becoming popular again. It's kind of fallen out of favor for a while, but the industry publications talk about it coming into popularity again. I haven't really seen it here, but I think it's just starting up. So you'll want to, I think have someone take a look at it. And if you can go to a coin and stamp dealer, do that. But get the values from them. Don't necessarily sell them to them, especially if you only get one opinion on them.
Yeah. We have Jody wondering about estimating two paintings she has of Nick Lenz. He was a German artist from Milwaukee, did portraits and paintings on commission. She has one that's 18x22 framed, a man fishing in a river, mountains in the background, another sailing ship. I've received a rough estimate by someone who runs a resale shop of about $300. That's pretty tough, even with a photograph, to be perfectly honest, of a painting. It's hard, isn't it?
It is very hard to do that. Number one, we don't know. This was from an email question. We don't know if it's a watercolor painting, an acrylic painting, a oil painting. We don't know if it was on canvas, on board. We don't know its period either, if this was an artist from 1900 or 1960. So that's always something important to look at. And you have the artist name, and that's important, because that's really where we find a lot of the value is in if this artist has become what we call listed. Means there's a record for that person's work and what the value of it is, maybe auction values and that kind of thing. And the internet is big help in that. And I know when a lot of people search on their own, they say, well, it tells me to go to these databases that I have to pay for. And I do have some of those because I'm in the business and I do pay those prices, and the average collector doesn't. But you still might be able to Google and find Lenz. And it's, I don't know him off the top of my head, Nick Lenz. It's something I have to research, too. And, you know, put his name in quotes, Nick Lenz artist. And, of course, now with Facebook and all the other social media, there could be 1,000 Nick Lenzes that come up. But, you know, artist, portrait artist, in the period, and see if you can find him that way. And then if you can find some of his work, maybe even that galleries have up for sale, you might get some idea of what the retail prices are they're asking at retail right now.
Cece emailed us, in the near future, she's going to be liquidating her mother's house full of antiques and knickknacks. How can I be sure to get a fair appraisal? How much should I expect to pay for a four-room appraisal? I live in Detroit.
Well, you are right to think that you want to bring in a professional to tell you, because I've seen some people do some things that they really regretted when they did their own sales. There's a couple of things. You can have the appraiser come in, and it's hard to say what a different market will charge. Detroit being a larger city area, you might be talking anywhere from, it's usually an hourly rate, I would say anywhere from about $150 to possibly $250 an hour. I would look at the websites for National International Appraisal Associations. International Society of Appraisers is one that I belong to, and it will tell you there, members from the area. You can search for somebody from that area, and I do know we have members from the Detroit area. And, you know, it's hard to say from a four-room appraisal. It depends on how much is in that place. I did an appraisal a few years back of a two-bedroom condo, and it ended up taking me 8 days to do the inventory with two people, because he had things inside of things inside of things, a lot of small things. If we're talking about large furniture, that goes a whole lot faster than if we're talking about, let's say, a lot of small silver pieces where we have to magnify the marks to see what they really are. You might also decide to hire an estate sale company to conduct the estate sale for you. And they will do the appropriate research and, again, get references on those people, or, you know, word of mouth, people who've already had them and were they pleased with them as their sale company. And they, of course, are on the same side of the table as you are. Usually they take a percentage at that point, and the higher the dollar value, the better it is for both of you.
So not a bad idea. And Bill in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I have a short stack of Varga girl prints, and they have a, you know, a picture of a woman in a swimsuit, which would be very mild by today's standards. And then on the backside, there's a picture of a World War II scene, I suspect.
Yeah.
And it looks like it may have come out of a magazine. Do these have any value?
They do. They are still collectible. They're the pinup girls that from that period. And you're right that by today's standards, they look pretty mild. But back then, that's what was
racy.
And they do. And again, condition matters so much. But it's kind of a double collectible, that whole world of, for better lack of better term, erotica, and the war collectibles, militaria. So you've got kind of a cross collectible there. And they probably did come out of magazines and books, and they were sent that, you know, made and just folded and sent in an envelope too sometimes. You know, you could order them.
There is a fold down the center line.
Yeah. Are they 8x10s or double that?
They're double that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, some of them, you know, you can look and see if there was a staple and then they were in a magazine. If there wasn't a staple, then they were probably just sent in the mail that way, ordered, you know, in a brown paper envelope. And, yes, they do. They do have value. Exactly what, I'm not sure right now. But like I said, there's a double collectible. I've seen some of those going in the, you know, $20 to $35 range.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And again, condition is really important.
Well, lots of callers online and lots of emails and Facebook questions, but we are out of time, Shirley. You'll have to come back and do this again. And again, give us your website address, Heirloom Appraisal.
Heirloomappraisal.com. And it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And thanks to all the callers.
And we'll put heirloomappraisal.com. I think Judith's already put it up on our Facebook page. So you can go to the Larry Mueller Show and get that information. And Shirley will come back. I know she will. And we will do this all over again. And you're busy, but you're willing to come back.
Absolutely. It's one of the pleasures of my day.
Okay. Shirley Bauman from Bauman Auction Services. Excuse me. She is a registered auctioneer. Just a look ahead to tomorrow. It's Friday. Garden Talk. Oh, my goodness. Where'd the week go? Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens on the UW campus, our guest. Stay with us.